Hi everyone, I'm about to open God's Word with us. If you haven't already read Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 to 34, now's a good time to hit the pause button and to read that passage of Scripture. So I'll give you a moment to do that right now. And we're back and I'm going to pray for us as we look at God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are strange times, these are worrying times, and we pray for your hand of mercy to be upon us. And what we need right now is to hear from you. We need words of hope, words of comfort. And so we pray that you would speak words, loving words to us right now. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought that this Sunday would be our last Sunday in the church building before we are not able to meet anymore. And as it turns out, I'm the only one left in the church building. Strange, but true. And I wanted to preach a sermon that helped us to keep trusting in Jesus and to keep living for his glory and to keep sharing the good news, but it didn't happen that way. Because the way this week unfolded was very different to how we all expected. See, it started by us being banned from meeting in groups of 100 and over. And then our Archbishop very wisely suggested that we close our public meetings. And the distance between us just kept getting bigger. You know, we went from being able to talk this close to each other to having to be 1.5 meters apart to having to be 2 meters apart, and pretty soon we'll be yelling at each other from across the room. People are self-isolating. It's a brand new world that we're finding ourselves in. Businesses are closing down. People are losing jobs. There are travel bans. Weddings are being cancelled. Even the Thanksgiving funeral of our own loved Bishop of the Western region, Ivan Lee, has been cancelled. Very sad. And people's roles are changing. Even for preachers, do you realize that every preacher who's preaching this weekend has suddenly become a televangelist? They're on the screen. Hi, Mum. How are you? Hi. But see, you know what the real question is? The real question is, what do we do in a pandemic? How do we respond in a time like this? What do we center our life around? What's the attitude we should have? What should be our focus? And what we need to do right now is we need to stop and we need to hear what Jesus has to say to us. And we need to hear again the loving words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word that calms our fears and eases our anxieties. That word when he says, don't worry, don't worry. So this is God's word for us, Wente Anglican. On a day like today where I'm preaching to a camera in an empty room and you're out there listening, here's what we're going to hear. We're going to hear the center of our life. We're going to hear the attitude that we should have. And we're going to hear the focus that all of us should have. The center, the attitude, the focus. So first, the center. See, three times in our passage, in Matthew 6, Jesus says these beautiful words. He says, don't worry. Look at them. Look at verse 25. Do not be anxious about your life. Verse 31, he says, don't be anxious saying, what shall we eat? Or verse 34, don't be anxious about tomorrow. See, three times he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And you might think, gee, that's easy for Jesus to say. I mean, doesn't he know that the supermarket shelves are empty? Doesn't he know that the stock market is crashing? Don't you know that people are panic buying and some of us aren't getting paid? Easy for Jesus to say. But look at what he says next. Look at verse 25 again. This is a word for all of us. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? See what he says? Life is more than the food that you put in your gob and the clothes that you wear on your back. That's the reason not to worry. Because these things are not the sum total of our life. These things are not what life is about. Do you know what? Do you know our anxieties reveal what our priorities are? And the things that we worry about, they reveal what we put our trust in, where we put our true hope. See, life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes, because life is about God. It's all about Him. He's the center. And of course, when we focus on what are we going to eat, when we focus on the clothes on our back, life becomes full of worry. Because if you find your security in this world, in the things you can touch and see, then life becomes very insecure. But if you believe there's a Father in heaven and you center your life around Him, then you tend not to worry. See, times like this, they force us to focus our life around God. Do you know in the 1850s, London was one of the most powerful and richest cities in the world? And then in 1854, there was an outbreak of cholera. 2 million people living in London and there's an outbreak of cholera. And it struck fear into the hearts of the Londoners. And there was a young Baptist preacher who was there, a man who began preaching his heart out at the age of 20 in London, a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. And here's what he wrote about those times. He said, and I quote, "If ever there be a time when the mind is sensitive, it is when death is abroad. I recollect when I first came to London, how anxiously people listened to the gospel, for the cholera was raging terribly. There was little scoffing then." See, it's true, isn't it? When death comes your way, it makes you think about your life. Death has a way of causing us to think. And it helps us to think, what is the center of our life? What are the foundations that we dig down deep to make life work? And it has to be God. These times, these days, are wake-up calls for us. These things that are happening, it's God's thunderclap to wake us up. Now is the time to change our priorities. Now is the time to reorder our loves. I believe that this pandemic is a God-given opportunity for all of us to recenter our life around God. Have you stopped putting your security in Him? Start now. It's a brand new day. Is there something in your life that you haven't repented of and turned back to Him? Well, repent now and turn back to Him. Has your obedience become half-hearted? Change it. And let the fire of obedience be rekindled in your life. See, even when you're self-quarantined, even when you're isolated, it's an opportunity to make much of God and little of yourself. It's an opportunity to make your Heavenly Father your center. You know, use this time, these days that we have ahead of us, to read the Bible when you're in isolation, in ways that you've never read it before. Use the time to open the Bible with people through Zoom or Skype or FaceTime or whatever else it is that people are using these days. Pray with others online. Tell your friends that you're praying for them. Talk about God often. Make Him your center. Center. Secondly, what's the attitude we should have? Why shouldn't we worry? It's by having this attitude that should govern our lives. It's a relational attitude, actually. It's knowing that God is your Father. God is your Father. What do good fathers do? Good fathers value you and good fathers provide for you.
They value you and they provide for you. That's what your Heavenly Father does. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Oh, friends, look at the skies. Consider the birds. Know that God feeds them. He feeds the kookaburras. He feeds the rainbow lorikeets. He even feeds those ugly minor birds. He feeds them all. And are you not much more valuable than they are? See, which person is going to care more for the birds in their cage than the children in their house? Of course, if they care for the birds in their cage, of course they'll care for the children in their house. And that's who your Heavenly Father is. He loves you. He values you. And if you've stopped thinking of God as your Father, then it's time to revisit this truth. Get this truth deep into your heart, that you are valuable to Him. He's your Father. He loves you. And you're valuable. And the second is that He provides.
Have is to know that your Father provides for you. Verse 28. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? See, flowers don't spin. Flowers don't use a sewing machine. Flowers don't know how to thread a piece of cotton into a needle. Last time I checked, they don't work, right? Flowers just sit there and they look beautiful. And yet they are clothed in the best clothes that are going, the very best that the floral fashion industry has to offer them. Right? Now, if God does that for the flowers who are here today, gone tomorrow, what is He going to do for you? Ah, He provides. He'll provide for you. See, here's the second object lesson. Look to the flowers and see how God cares for them, provides for them. But do you see, behind these two truths is the fact that God is your Father. And if you've lost that truth in your life, keep coming back to it. It's one thing that Jesus wanted us to know time and time again, that you have a Father in heaven who loves you and values you, and you are so precious to Him. So trust Him. It may look like He's not in control, but He is in control. Have great confidence in Him. Tell Him when you pray to Him. Tell Him, Father, I know that You are in control. And when you ask Him for something, thank Him ahead of time for the answer to the thing that you're asking for, because He's a good Father, right? And whatever the outcome of the thing that you are asking for, because He's a good Father, He'll know what to give you. So carry this attitude that God is your Father. Cherish His love. Trust in His provision. And if you need reminding of these things, just look outside. Look to the birds. Look to the flowers. Smell the roses and cherish that you have a Father. Have this attitude. And so finally, the focus. At a time like this, what should be our focus? It's easy for us to focus on stockpiling or jobs or the stock market. What should we be focusing on? Look at verse 33. It's what we should always be focusing on, actually. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, what's our focus? It's His kingdom and it's His righteousness. You know what this means, to seek His kingdom and His righteousness? It means two things. It means, first of all, to do what our King wants. Do what our King wants. See, it means asking questions like, What will give God the most glory at a time like this? What can I do that will give God the most glory at a time like this? It means being prayerful. It means praying prayers like, Father, your kingdom come. Because it looks like your kingdom's being disrupted right now, but I'm going to pray your kingdom come. I'm going to pray for your will to be done. Does this sound familiar, this prayer? It means being concerned about eternal things. It means that we pray for the gospel to keep going out to the ends of the earth, because God's mission isn't cancelled. God's mission is continuing. And what we need to do is we need to think how we can still be a part of God's mission in this situation. How we can keep telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. It's going to be different. It's going to look different, but it's still going to happen. And we, the church, need to think about how it will happen. And you know what else it means to do what our King wants? It means loving our neighbour. Because that's what God wants. See, our world wants to hoard and stockpile and to fight over the last roll of toilet paper, for goodness sake. But what do Christians do? We share. We're generous. We are the people who will look out for our neighbour. It means looking out for our neighbour when we're in isolation. It means picking up a phone and calling and saying, hey, I was just calling to check in on you and see that you're okay. Is there anything you need? And mean it. Pick up the phone and call them. Get your neighbour's phone number if you haven't already. But it also means not just doing what our King wants. It means pursuing his righteousness. How do you pursue? How do you seek his righteousness? You know what it means? It means trusting in your Heavenly Father that he gave up his Son for you. And if you have trusted that he gave up his Son's life for you, you know what that means? He does not count a single one of your sins against you. Isn't that good news? Not a single one of your sins is counted against you. No matter what you've done, no matter who you've done it with, no matter how long ago you've done it, it's not counted against you because it got counted against the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on that cross. You are not guilty. And do you know what? It's not just that you're not guilty. You know how God sees you if you're in Christ? He sees that your life is a 10 out of 10. Because you have the perfect righteousness of Christ. That's what it means to seek his righteousness. It means to keep trusting in his provision for you. That he has given his Son's life for you. So that you're not guilty and you're a 10 out of 10. You know, I've got a mate who's getting married next month. And let's just say that this mate of mine and his wife, they won't be having their dream wedding in a couple of weeks' time. They've already cancelled their reception, they've postponed it to a year's time. They've limited their guest list to 50 people, and the groom's family won't be coming from New Zealand to share in the joy. He won't have his mate coming from overseas in the States to come and celebrate with him. It won't be their dream wedding. And here's what he wrote on Facebook this week. He said, I've had so many reasons to just rage quit this week, but I've been holding back. And here comes Facebook cheering me up with a piece of old gold I stumbled upon years ago. And then he shared a quote that really spoke to his heart years ago. And I'm going to share it with you right now. It's a quote from a Scottish poet by the name of Horatius Bonar. What a great name, Horatius Bonar. Here's what this poet said. He said, the deepest peace in the Christian life comes from seeing that although we are still sinners, at the same time, we are perfectly righteous in Christ. That although in ourselves we are nothing, in Jesus We have everything that although we are empty, in Jesus we are full. That although we are poor, in Jesus we are rich. The Christian who relies most completely on Jesus is also the holiest and happiest Christian. That's pursuing his righteousness. That's finding your security in God alone and centering your whole identity around him. Because you know what your loving Father has provided for you? Your eternal security. What a great thing we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So center your trust around God, have the attitude knowing he's your Father, that he cares and provides, and refocus your life around his kingdom and his righteousness. And you know what? We're going to see God, I believe, work in ways that we haven't seen before. I heard this week of one church in Italy, in Milan, where this church had gone online, like we have, and the people of that community that had lost, you know, that community has lost thousands of people. That country of Italy has lost thousands of people, rather. And that community is tuning in to what this church has said. And this church has realized that 1,000 new people have listened to their Bible talks. What an amazing thing God is doing. See, when death is all around us, it causes us to want to refocus our life. May God do that at this unique time in the history of our world. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we look at the world and it seems as though you've taken your hand off it, that you have let this world go without any thought. But Father, we know that you are in control. You are a sovereign God. And your word to us this morning is not to worry. You've got this. Oh Father, we can feel so worried. And we pray you would help us in our worry to come to you and to make you our true security. And Father, we thank you that we know that you love us. Because you've sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our perfect righteousness. Oh, Father, help us to keep living for your glory during this time. Keep loving our neighbor and keep honoring you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.